Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to Menonoran's mini talk on Log Horizon for episode 21. The two of us shall waltz. I'm Darrow, and Posh is here with me.
Hey, what's up? And no, we're not going to dance on the.
No. We'll just enjoy chatting about this episode over some food and drinks, just like Shoryu and that other guy fighting over the meat.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So. The Goblin King is still alive, but they've suppressed most of the Goblin forces, so it's mostly a win for Akihabara and everybody there, but there's still work to be done. But in the meantime, why not have a party?
Yep, that's true. Gotta have a party for the returning heroes, basically.
And we'll talk about that in more detail a little later, all of the ships and stuff that you see in that moment where they're at the ball and dancing and stuff. But to talk about some of the main points of the episode and things to look forward to in the remaining four episodes of Log Horizon, we see Shiro spread the rumor about the memory loss thing, and there's a lot of buzz going on about it. There's almost kind of a telephone game going on where people have different understandings of what could happen with the memory loss. Kind of an interesting way for him to get that out there just so people can sort of have it in the back of their minds so that it's not such a huge surprise whenever he decides to reveal it to them.
Yeah, and that's kind of landed him in a little bit of hot water. Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel that he's known the entire time, which is true, he has. And he has kept it from everybody. So, I could see that being a thing. I mean, all these people just volunteered to fight in this big war, not knowing that if they died, they could lose memories. So, I could see why someone would be a little angry about that. I mean, It does paint him in a bad picture. Like, oh, you really are maybe a villain. Like, okay, well.
Yeah, being a leader, it's not all perfect. I mean, you see any president in our world or for everybody else, it's not smooth sailing.
Right, everyone's not going to agree with your thing, so it's how it goes.
And it looks like the next big thing that we have to look forward to is the Demon Festival of Susaku Gate, which is an event in Minami, which is one of the six main areas in the game. And Shiro and Rigen are talking, and Rigen mentions that someone else in the world has created world-class magic, very similar to what Shiro did in his revival of Rudy. And another interesting point is that he overhears another woman telling kids a story of what he just did.
Yeah, that was interesting. It's like word for word almost, like what he just did. And it was like, what's going on here? Did he alter the game so much that he actually spawned a new NPC by taking Rudy out? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like you said, narrating everything he basically did. And before she gets to the good, juicy part, she's like, that's enough for the day. And disappears. And Shiro's like, that's interesting. So he's got to pay some kind of price later on. But we'll see how that works out. But Rigen, lately, when every time I see him, he just comes off as this creepy, evil character. He just looks like he's plotting something. Like he wants Shiro to do something far, like a big magic spell, and he's going to like steal it from him and then use it against him. That's why I feel it could happen near the end.
And do you think he's in alliance with somebody, or that he may have his own individual motives?
I could see him being maybe like a henchman, just towards something more evil in the world. But or he could just surprise everyone and actually be the game developer, like they did in the other show we won't talk about. But yeah.
And two things about the girl: one, we never see her from the mouth up. And I think it's also very timely that the girl that we've seen in flashbacks from the debauchery tea party has come up again. So I think there's got to be, I'm thinking there's some tie.
Yeah, I'm thinking that she's the other one like Shiro. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he looked towards her as like a mentor, it would obviously be that she probably would be maybe more powerful than he is. Mm-hmm. Maybe he has more spells than he does. That could work.
And then at the end of the episode, Marielle again, I want to do something fun, and that's where the autumn Scale Festival will come in.
Yeah, I can tell if she just doesn't like sitting still very long. Of course, I did think, didn't they mention it was like 2 months later, a month later, since they had this party at the ball, whatever. I thought it was like there was a time skip somewhere around there. Not a big one, but yeah.
But yeah, just enough where, you know, we can get toward the next main mission. And I thought there was a cool thing that she did where, you know, there's all talk about villains and glasses and stuff, where she puts her fingers in the middle of her eyes as though she's lifting up her glasses.
Oh, yeah, one of them comments, they call it, like, air glasses.
Or yeah, air magon. All right, so let's talk about all of this shipping here that we see in episode 21. We start with Isuzu and Rudy. Pretty obvious that Rudy joined in the last episode, and now Isuzu is following along with him. Although the relationship is still a girl and pet.
Right, yeah, she still sees him as the loyal little pet he is. Like, that's fine.
And with Sarara and Nyanta, we see that Sarara declines to join Log Horizon for her own reasons of looking out for the others. And Nyanta dances with her, just sort of maybe getting a sense for the scene. There's no romantic interest that he could possibly have in her at this moment, but he probably fulfills a desire of Sarara's to have a dance with him.
Oh, yeah. She was watching everyone else dance. She was getting kind of antsy. She was, like, looking at Nyanta like she was going to go ask him. Like, she wanted to ask him to dance, but yeah, that came up. It's pretty nice.
And now we move to an unusual triangle here. Not exactly triangle, but just in the sense that there's three people involved here. Shiroe and Akatsuki / Midori. Now, let's talk about Shiroe a little bit. He declines going to the dance and stuff. He isn't very much a person that likes to converse with the public. Kind of matches up with his personality that we've seen throughout the series and how he felt before the apocalypse had happened, where he got stuck in the game, and that is his one area where maybe he's not quite as strong.
Right, yeah, he's not for the public. And there are people like that in real life that they just don't handle public situations very well. They just,
yeah,
they'd rather just stay and let someone else do it, or they have a spokesman that talks for them. So,
Akatsuki felt like she didn't do enough in the mission. She really didn't feel like she did anything, but then Shire was pointing out all the times where, you know, you helped me here and you helped me there and you were by my side the whole time. And so she did help, even though looking at it, you know, sort of just watching the anime, we could kind of see how she feels, because she wasn't really involved in many action scenes. She wasn't a central part of a lot of what was going on, even when she was there with Shiroe when he first met Regan.
Yeah, it almost feels like he's kind of telling her that you weren't there to, you know, to fight. Maybe you're more there for someone I could fall back on. If anything, if I did, you know, start freaking out, I know you would be there to me to help me. But yeah, from our perspective, it looked like she was just kind of standing around. So I kind of can see her point of view, but then I see Shiroe's point of view as well.
Yeah, and they both dance with their low-level selves, dancing skills-wise. And then we see Midori in this episode having a good old time, and she walks around and she hears some people speaking ill of Shiroe and talking about the whole villain in glasses thing, and there's a scene where she's on a rooftop, and it almost kind of felt like she was going to confess or something to him, but then she ends up talking about strategy and assessing her skills.
Right, I noticed that too. She's getting all like, basically, I mean, we've seen so many shows like that where they've done a typical setup where the ex character's alone and she's gonna confess her feelings finally. And it did definitely feel like they were gonna do that. I was like, I kind of didn't want that to happen, but you also gotta look at the other pictures. Like, if we're doing a lot of ships in this show, like, who else would you pair her up with? I mean, she's probably got that. He taught her everything, so she kind of like maybe has grown a fond of him or something like that.
Yeah, it's an interesting little wrinkle in the relationship that those two have, instead of just being sort of a mentor and a learnee, which is what Shira and Midori very much are, that there, in an odd way, could be some level of romance between those two.
Right. Student-teacher, if you want to get that.
Yeah, student-teacher, yeah. And it'll probably be one-sided, I would imagine.
Right.
I don't think Shira would ever really catch on or anything.
Yeah, he seems like he's kind of got his mind elsewhere right now. Even though, you know, we would like to see a little bit of romance between Shiro and someone at least, but we'll see how it goes.
And then with Krusty and Lanessia, we see a scene with Lanessia talking to her grandfather, and he says that they won't compensate the adventurers for their help with the recent mission. And she almost, not in the same way, but pretty similar to Rudy, kind of has to become a part of the adventurers now.
Right, I guess now she's going to live with them.
Mm-hmm.
To, I guess, say thank you to people. And I think it's kind of silly, but I'm like, eh. Well, it just makes Lanessia with Krusty a little bit better, I guess. Makes them hang out more. Maybe they might develop something.
Yeah, it's funny when they were having a party and stuff and everybody was wearing their Lanessia masks.
Oh, yeah.
And then on Krusty's side, Krusty kind of looks at Lanessia and, you know, he can read her mind and stuff, and she's thinking about wasting time and free meals and a nap and slacking off and stuff. But what we saw with recent events is that Lanessia does want to do something and in some sense can kind of prevent herself from having the joy of being able to slack off and, you know, speak up in front of the adventurers and whatever else may happen.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, like, the relationship they have in, like, Monogatari with Aragi and Shinjihara. They both, like, you know, snappy at each other sometimes. And they both know how to get in each other's skin. And just these two, they are kind of almost similar, but not really. But Krusty, he knows what to say. Make her a little irritated, but she doesn't really get that mad at him.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help when those two other girls throughout the episode are like, oh my god, he's so cool.
Right, and then she's just like, you know, you have no idea.
And she's just got that glare. And then Marielle and Naotsugu, Mari chooses him to dance. Little surprise there. Nothing too much besides that as the other two guys fight over meat.
Yeah, then with that, you have a third person as well who likes Marielle as well. Well, never mind, that's the secretary. But yeah, those two dancing is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, eh, Akatsuki's not here, so I might as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh yeah, that's another thing, that Henrietta gets to spend a little time with Akatsuki, although she senses that Akatsuki's kind of concerned about something and kind of dials back the obsession.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of nice. It was like, finally she kind of, you know, took the hint, like, I'm not going to be bothered right now, leave me alone. Because throughout the series, she's been like, oh, just all of you, I don't care. And even like the where the other girl's talking about the festival, she's kind of sitting in her lap, just petting her. I'm like, I guess she's used to it, just doesn't fight anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so episode 21, decent breather episode. A little bit of fun, get to see all of our favorite characters dressed up and stuff. That was fun, all suited up, and, you know, all the girls looking cute and stuff. And then we get a nice little bit of things to expect in the next four episodes, exploring, you know, another area of the world of Elder Tales should be very interesting with what limited amount of episodes we have, and, you know, potentially seeing a person with the similar ability of Shire to form world-class magic.
Right, and I hope you see the girl that he's been seeing in the flashbacks. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if she's the leader of this other group that's, you know, on the other side of the world, whatever.
Yeah.
And more stuff with, like you said, the world magic and other stuff. And with only being four episodes, I'm a little sad that we're getting close to the end, but I can see another season. But even though last week I saw a commenter saying that right now they've only done 5 chapters out of 7. So it's like for the novel. So it's like they only have 2 left. So it's like, I don't know what they can do with another season or half a season.
Yeah. And is the light novel still ongoing, or
not that I know of?
I mean, just recently the offer went to some social network site and was asking people for ideas and thoughts and stuff.
Yeah.
So I got to think it's still ongoing, but
Right. He's probably getting like, getting close to the end. Well, it's popular now, and maybe he didn't think it was going to be a huge hit. And now it is, so we see.
Yep, we'll just have to see what happens, at least for the next four episodes that we know we're going to get of Log Horizon. So that's been our mini talk for episode 21 for Fosh. I'm Jero. We will see you next week.